Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And it's 6:21 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. We do get a reading on the U.S. economy today. And joining us now, Carl Riccadonna from Bloomberg Industries, Bloomberg Intelligence, I say, the chief economist there. It's a rear-view look at the U.S. economy, and what we're going to see in the rear-view mirror is probably going to be ugly.
Not very good at all, John. What we're going to see here is, say, a recurrence of first quarter weakness in the GDP data. This is something we've seen in most of the years since the Great Recession, and there seems to be some statistical issues with the data. This is part of the reason why Chair Yellen described the GDP numbers as noisy in her recent remarks. And so what we need to do is look beyond what could be a statistical fluke and try to read what's the underlying tempo of the economy.
What's the underlying tempo of the economy, Carl?
Well, I think the underlying tempo is that we're seeing more of the same in terms of, let's say, 2%-ish type of growth, and not much evidence of an acceleration, at least not yet, although the latest numbers on durable goods orders, which we saw yesterday, maybe showed some evidence of animal spirits starting to impact business sentiment and actual spending, and certainly the prospects of significant tax reform should give a little bit more staying power to that post-election rise in both household and business sentiment.
Okay, let's see. You brought up taxes. So let's see if we can get you into trouble. Is Arthur Laffer still around?
He is still around.
Okay.
And no doubt loving the recent proposals.
When you decrease taxes, what's the hard data? What do the studies say? What happens to revenue?
Well, it's not so simple as the back of the envelope or napkin, as Arthur Laffer famously used, calculation. So if you tax something, people do less of it. If you tax smoking, people will presumably smoke less. And so if you tax income, there's less incentive for people to work. And so that's the fundamental argument, that if you reduce taxes, then people will have a greater incentive to work. But what we're seeing here is not only tax cuts, but also redistribution of taxes as loopholes are removed and deductions.
Okay, from your vantage point, how does it redistribute?
Well, my vantage point is from the coast, John, and so what's happening here, at least in the initial proposal, is that they are looking to remove the state and local tax deduction, which you can deduct from your federal taxable income. And what that means is that that would redistribute a lot of tax burden to the high tax, high state and local tax states, which were predominantly on the coast and were predominantly Hillary-supporting blue states. So California, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts get clobbered by this.
All right. We're in trouble. You're in trouble. Carl Riccadonna from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on businesses and all the market and government factors that impact business. Go to BIGO on the terminal.